So this is the set of last questions on chapter number 4 of Bodhichaya Avatara. And there are three questions, so I would like to answer them in a short way. And the first question is, Dear Rinpoche, thank you for the beautiful strength and clarity of this teaching, and for your patience with us for not always getting the point. Is it appropriate to think of anxiety as a negative emotion and to deal with it in the way you describe? You talk about fear, which I think must underlie anxiety. Is that a correct understanding? I think that's very correct. I think anxiety is of course fear, and fear is expressed in many different ways, and it comes out as anxiety, as aversion, as anger, as hatred, as also attachment and clinging, so in many different ways, I think. Next, I think it's a similar kind of question, next question also, so therefore I wouldn't explain here too much. The next question is, in chapter 4, Shantideva describes negative emotions as an enemy, the cause of sorrow and something to get rid of. You suggest that just being angry at our negative emotions is not the answer to how to work with them, and we need to have mindfulness and awareness, understanding, intelligence, wisdom, and relax. This approach doesn't sound like rejecting negative emotions, but more like being fully present with them. It seems that adopting the attitude of these emotions being an enemy might limit one's ability to stay open and allow intelligence, wisdom, and understanding to occur. Would you clarify how this all goes together? So when we say that negative emotions or disturbing emotions is an enemy, it just means to say that these emotions are causing problem and pain to you and others. So therefore they never can become very useful and very helpful to you to bring lasting peace and happiness to you as well as others. That's what it is saying. So that understanding must be very, very important, because if you think that all these negative emotions or disturbing emotions is something very good or something useful or something that you need, I think that's wrong. That's because it doesn't bring anything really good in the long run if you allow yourself to be kind of overpowered or carried away by the negative emotions. That's why you need to understand that. That's the main thing. Once you understand that, then you know how to deal with it skillfully. That's the important thing. You can't just be angry at that, or you just to have too much fear of that, or you cannot. That wouldn't help. That wouldn't get rid of this problem. That wouldn't uproot this disturbed or negative emotions. So what we need to know, what we need to learn, is how to, instead of indulging in these negative and disturbed emotions, you need to allow yourself to remain free from these negative emotions. And to do that, then that understanding is necessary, intelligence is necessary, skillful means is necessary, to kind of work on it step by step is necessary, because like if you cannot say that, okay, to be angry is not good. So I say, I will never be angry from now onwards. It's easy to say, but not easy to, easy to happen. Or you cannot say that I will never have fear from now onwards. It's easy to say. But then when those things happen, when the negative emotions arise, then say, oh, this is another negative emotion. It's not useful to indulge in it, not useful to become like slave of that. So you allow to let it go. You use different methods, whatever is appropriate to you at the moment, and then slowly but certainly and slowly you don't become a slave to that. That's the idea. So therefore, I don't know if you want to call it what you say as fully present with them. This, to say fully present with, being fully present with them, you can understand in many different ways. So then sometimes people might think that, you have to be fully present with them means that you have to be angry, or you have to keep it, or you have to get angry, or, I think this can be understood by many slightly different ways. So therefore, it's important to understand this, that you understand, what is the effect, what is the, what is negative emotion? What does it do to you? That is important. How to work on it, also important to understand. In a skillful way, in a step-by-step way. Of course, you will get angry and you will get all kinds of negative emotions until you become really realized. But that, of course, you can't expect that you understand the negative emotions are not good, and then immediately all of them are gone, and you're totally free. That cannot happen. You have to live with it. You have to, but you have to work on it also, but you have to know that this is something that is not really good for you. So you have to work on it. So this understanding, I think, is very important, and that's what I am trying to say. So working on it, so we discussed this, I think, a few times, but how to even sometimes, abandoning them is also good, that you don't, you make a kind of, you say that it's not, I'm not going to let it, drive me, or let it overpower me, or let it control me or my actions. And then you really, that's also a very good step, but that's also not going to uproot that. So therefore, we need, different kind of methods. We need to have abandoning, transforming, understanding. So these three ways. Abandoning is to not allow yourself to be overpowered by that negative emotion, at that moment. That's also important. That's very important. Because if you allow it to be, if you act according to the disturbed emotion, then, sometimes you do lots of damage to yourself and others. And it creates so much problem that it's very difficult to get rid of it also. So therefore, that's also a good thing. And also, because if a negative emotion comes up, and then you don't, you don't act accordingly, or you don't react in that way, after 5 minutes, you don't even want to react in that way. So therefore, it's very good. It's very important to understand that also. And to understand that these emotions are not, not permanent, or not, it's very impermanent, and changes, the emotions also changes very quickly. So therefore, if you just wait, for a few minutes, that emotion is also gone. That's also abandoning. And then also, transforming means when there is a negative emotion or disturbed emotion coming, you allow something positive come in, at the same time, And so that is also a very important thing, so that you know you deliberately allow some very positive emotion or positive thoughts come into your mind. So therefore, that negative emotion kind of is a little bit overpowered, or you know, that doesn't completely transform it, you know, or completely eradicate it, but it helps. And then understanding that you really understand the emotion, and that's maybe you are talking about being fully present with them. But you know, if you really understand that there's, you know, there's nothing much substance in these emotions, so then you can relax in that. Then you don't have to fear it. You know, you don't have to be allowed to that emotion to take over, then it's the best. You understand the nature of yourself, you understand the nature of your mind, you understand the nature of that emotion. So therefore, you have no problem dealing with it. And that can actually transform, and that can actually completely change and even uproot that negative emotion. So that's an important thing. So this is the question, and this is the answer. I hope I have made it clear. Now the last question is, dear Rinpoche, thank you for this explanation. It's very helpful as it is making me notice more in myself the small, subtle ways in which I can get discouraged, as well as the more obvious times of struggling against the clashes and finding it very difficult. These stanzas also remind me very much of a Christian hymn, I think written in the 17th century by John Bunyan, called To Be a Pilgrim. The first verse is, "He who would valiant be against all disaster, let him in constancy follow the master. This no discouragement can make him also relent his first avowed intent to be a pilgrim." Could it be said that the meaning of this is very similar to that expressed by Shantideva, or is the religious context too different? To be honest, this verse is very high poetic English, so I don't understand very much, and there's nobody here with me at the moment to explain this, so I don't understand fully what this stanza says, but I have a kind of a clue that I think it's saying the same thing. You know, usually the different religious context is completely not of much. Significance, as far as I understand, you know, this there, when the real kind of understandings or the experiences of great beings or experienced spiritual masters, you know, express those their experiences, whatever kind of philosophical background or, you know, religious kind of a context they're talking about, I feel is totally immaterial. It doesn't matter at all. It's that experience which actually comes to the same thing. This is what I understand, and so I'm sure there are. It gives the same kind of message, but I can't say exactly because I'm not very good at poetry, English poetry, because I don't even understand what is not poetry. That's my problem. I've been asking questions to some of the, you know, like English poetry teachers. What is not a poetry? And till now, you know, I asked to all different kind of great professors, you know, up to Oxford University professors, and they tried to explain to me, but I am too dull to understand. I don't know what is not a poetry. So therefore, I can't really say what is even a poetry. But that's, of course, besides the point. But, you know, I will, of course, maybe when I meet the questioner here, I think she is Linda, then maybe she can explain to me more clearly what this stanza actually means, and maybe then we can discuss more. But I think that's what it's the same thing. Anyway, that's it. Thank you. So this is the last question, and I don't think I have received any more questions so far. So I'll end here. Thank you very much.